Tandem Nomads, Episode 2.
A house is made of walls and beams. A home is made of love and dreams.
Welcome to Tandem Nomads, where inspiring expat partners from around the world share with you how they turn the challenges of relocation into great opportunities. Every Monday, you will be able to hear their stories, and every Thursday, I will bring to you great insights, tips, and advice on specific topics and challenges of relocation. So are you following your partner abroad for his or her career? Do you feel the need to build your own source of accomplishment besides being a great partner and a great parent? Then Tandem Nomads is the place for you. Go to tandemnomads.com and sign up for the newsletter.
Hello, Nomad Nation. This is Emel Deregi.
In today's episode, I am going to share with you 6 tips on how to leave the home you loved and embrace your new home. Home can have a lot of different definitions according to people, according to situations. For some people, it can be just a feeling, like feeling home. For others, it still represents something more physical, like a city, like a country, like a group of people. So it can have a lot of different meanings. And I guess, I don't know about you, but I believe that the more we travel, the more the definition of home is also challenged. It can be everywhere you live. But to simplify the notion of home, and today to bring you some practical tips, I want to focus on the household. By home, I mean the flat, the house, the apartment where you lived, and the one that you're going to leave to move to a new one and in a new country. The old home, the one we are preparing to leave, usually is the symbol of shelter, of protection, of the day-to-day life, and a stable comfort zone. Whereas the new home, the one we're preparing to move in, usually symbolizes all the opposite. It can be the catalyzer of subconscious fears of getting out of this comfort zone and symbolize all these uncertainties related to adapting to a new environment, new social groups, new cultures, new habits. And this is probably why it is sometimes very stressful to start a new life in a new house or a new apartment, and the first weeks or months can be very stressful and frustrating. Actually, I've read in many articles that moving houses, even when it's not abroad, is one of the top 4 or 3 sources of stress in people's lives. The first one being death, the second one birth, and the third one moving out. So imagine when you're doing it in a country you don't know. So I believe that these tips are that I'm going to present to you are not only helpful to move into a new house or a new apartment, but also to adapt to a new environment and new culture. So these are the 6 tips to help you leave the home you loved. And actually, at the end of the day, it is all about embracing the new home by letting go of the old one. The first tip is pick a symbolic piece to take with you. To feel home in a new place, the ideal situation would actually be to just take all the furniture as they are in the old home and take it in the new home. But we know that transporting furniture overseas can be very expensive, and a lot of employers don't include the furniture in the relocation package. So, or if they do, there is a limited allowance, so you can't just replicate your home that you loved exactly the same way in the new place. So the first step would be to figure out how much you can take with you abroad. And then if you have a limited possibility, pick the one piece that you can take and that symbolizes most your attachment to the old home. Something that would be a happy souvenir for you, but also for your family, if you're traveling with family. In our case, the one piece of furniture that we could take with us was our couch. It is such a comfortable and practical couch. I just love it. But more importantly, it symbolizes for Michael and I so many happy moments
together with our friends, with our family. However, as we will see a little bit later in the second tip, if your relocation company takes a while to deliver your boxes, you might also want to build some patience by taking anything that could be lighter and could be put in your suitcase to help you feel a little closer to home when you arrive in the new country during the first weeks or first months. It could be anything small that gives you a good feeling. For example, pictures, small figurines, decorative items, old books, anything that would help you feel a little closer to your old home. And if you have children, you might also want to take something that will make them feel secure and comfortable during the transition. It could be a teddy bear for the small ones, a toy, or posters and pictures for the older ones. They might want to make the choice themselves, actually. So pick a symbolic piece to take with you in your boxes if you have that choice. Or if you don't, take something in your suitcase that could make you just remember home in a positive way and help you feel emotionally closer to your home the first weeks of your transition. Now, the second tip is be patient and build short-term solutions. So how are we going to do this? It's easy to say. The transition and adjustment period in a new country and a new home can really, really vary from a person to another, from a situation to another. But the first weeks of months can actually really be stressful for a lot of people. Definitely, we should not underestimate the impact of these first weeks and how they can really impact our feeling, our moods, and sometimes even our health. So it's important to try to find small and short-term solutions and build a lot of patience during this time of transition. For instance, in every country I lived in, I could only feel totally home once I got to know where to buy all the food and where to find the good doctors, how to actually build strong ties with people. But also, one of the least comfortable time I found was before the boxes arrived, before I got furniture, before the house started having functionalities, actually. And functionalities can be, in a way, very symbolic of how we feel in the home. You actually might also have experienced sleeping on the floor while waiting for your bed to arrive, or you maybe had the season that was changing and your clothes are still on the way. You might also be waiting for all your dishes you packed and wonder how long you will be able to live on takeaways, deliveries, and plastic dishes, and as you're avoiding investing in more dishes. So a lot of examples of things that can be very frustrating on the first weeks. From what I've experienced, I realized that the most important is, like I said, to be patient and remember that it is a transition period. It's very important to convince ourselves to say, like, yeah, things will get better. And trust me, yes, you will feel better. Things always get better. At the beginning, it's kind of normal that it's stressful. It's a lot of information and a lot of new things in a completely different environment that are happening to your life. And it's normal that you get a bit overwhelmed. So just be patient with yourself and accept to be challenged a little bit at the beginning. However, if it's too hard, try to exercise this positive attitude and positive thoughts with a strong mindset. What I mean is try to convince yourself to take this challenging period as an adventure, as an inner journey. And actually, I can tell you, you could really learn a lot about yourself when you're taken out of your usual environment and out of your comfort zone. And this could be a really interesting outcome for you. Even if it's hard at the present, try to remember that you might learn a lot from this experience, and just try to embrace that challenge and what you're going through. Remember it, write down what you're feeling, and it will be interesting to see what you're learning from it. However, in the meantime, and for the sake of not totally losing sanity, because that happens, I can't believe it, it happened to me, I would also suggest that you build some short-term solution that suits you best to feel a little home and comfortable in your new place. Try to identify and try to list on a piece of paper what bothers you most, what is the most difficult to cope with on a daily basis. Then try to find simple solutions that could help you relieve the pressure and at least to a minimum. Actually, if you're moving with your family, try to do this exercise together. Sit down and talk about what's really difficult for you right now. What are your challenges individually and as a family? Getting everyone to participate in finding common solution might also help decrease some of the tensions that moving homes can create in a family. I remember when I was a kid with my parents and my brother, those were one of the worst moments, not knowing how it's going to be in school. I was a kid then. Seeing my parents not knowing how to, you know, set up the electricity and how to fix the telephone problem. There is a pipe that broke. How do you do it? So it was very stressful. The needs of the parents, the needs of the kids. Very important to keep communicating about those issues and try to build some fun and talk about those issues and find common solutions. I would like to give you more practical examples, and it's really not easy, as these issues can be very different from a person to another, from a country to another, from a situation to another. But let me try to give you some ideas here that could inspire you to feel a little home during a transition period. Something that's maybe more emotional, but that could really, really be helpful from my experience to like be more patient and still feel a little bit more home in a new home. For example, you could put your pictures on the shelves, hang your pictures on the wall. Even if your furniture are not there, at least there's something personal that's being hang on the walls. Use bed sheets from old home, from your old room. This is something that actually I've been doing, and it was really helpful because sleeping, going to bed is one of the most difficult things to do actually in a new country, I find, because you're supposed to feel secure, and if you're not in your usual environment, it doesn't feel secure. And using those same sheets felt actually really good for me. There's another thing that worked for me, and I hope you can also use it, is actually buying the same furniture that you had. And IKEA is a great company for that. We might discuss the quality of the furniture, but it's a great way actually to duplicate your new home with small pieces of furniture if you couldn't take your furniture with you. And this is what I do. I have my little small table where I do my makeup, and wherever I go, I buy exactly the same Mika model just to make me feel like, okay, there's at least one little routine in my morning that didn't change, and that's through the symbol of this small piece of furniture. Another thing that helps to make your home in the transition period more lively is to get some plants and to make this empty apartment look a little bit more cozy. Also, you can all invite your friends or your new friends for a casual and friendly pizza party. Even if you're still living in your boxes or don't have any furniture yet, do it camping style. Just start connecting with people in a casual way, in a friendly way, that will help you fill your home with joy and with new energies and positive energies, while at the same time trying to build connections with new people around you. That's actually a trick that really helped me also a lot. Light some candles and make your home cozier in the evenings with a bit of music, and you can also dance and just create new fun memories. Create fun memories in your new home in order to stop thinking about the old ones. Take pictures to remember those new moments and see them again. Have a proof that it is possible to create new moments in a new home. So this was the second tip. It was all about how to be patient, how to make sure to use these challenges as a way to learn more about yourself and reflect on how you're dealing with those challenges. And when it gets too difficult, build short-term solutions on a practical way, depending on what are your challenges you're facing with, but also on an emotional way with all these little examples I just gave you. So let's go now to the third tip that's very much related, which is avoid comparing the past and the present. Very important. Lots of frustration can be built up when trying to duplicate past habits in a new environment that doesn't work for these old habits. So that is probably why one of the biggest challenges of relocation is giving up old habits and building new ones. Comparing a home with an old one only makes it worse, trust me, especially if you missed and loved the old one as much as I did with our apartment in Vienna. So there will always be things that were better before. And this is something that actually is true for everything, not just a home. You will always find something that worked better in the past and not so much in the present. But by focusing on the present, you might find more positive energy to deal with challenges and creativity to find solutions. And also, slowly, by focusing on the present, you might start seeing the new bright sides. You might have lost some advantages, but you will discover that there are new ones too. There are two particular things that I really, really cherished a lot in our old apartment. The nice, comfortable couch that I mentioned previously. And there was another thing, a beautiful tree that I could see from the living room window. We could take the couch, but obviously not the tree. This tree was really, really important to me. I would admire it for a few minutes every day and sometimes even longer. It was for me just like a little meditation spot, a little corner of paradise. This tree really became part of my daily routine. In good days, it would enhance my happiness. And in bad days, it would actually fill me up with hope. So you can't imagine how symbolic this tree was for me. In our new home in New York, we found a great view on Manhattan. And yet, at the beginning, I couldn't enjoy this view. I just kept thinking about my small little window in Vienna and that amazing tree. I just couldn't accept to enjoy this view on Manhattan because it didn't symbolize the same thing as Vienna. So I kept wishing I had a little piece of nature to look from my window and to calm me down when I was stressed. And obviously the view on Manhattan is not the most calming view, trust me. So I was really comparing all the time Vienna and New York. And one of the ways I was doing it, it was through the view I had through my window and the fact that I just lost a piece of paradise that I had with me. But Vienna and New York are totally incomparable. It's just not possible to compare apples with oranges. And I really had to make my mind to stop doing that. And it's only when I stopped my sentences, every time I stopped them, every time I started a sentence where I thought, okay, now I think I'm going to start doing one of those comparisons, I immediately stopped it. I had to do it in order to be able to embrace my present. So very important to listen to yourself and listen to what you're saying. Even ask your friends for feedback of how you're expressing your challenges. If you see that you're expressing your challenges too often by comparing them to the past, then you might want to try to exercise a way to express those challenges without mentioning the advantages you had in the past. Because if you don't do that, then you will never see the bright side of what's happening in your present. Which connects me to my fourth tip. Project yourself in the future home. When the present is too tough and you really can't manage to stop thinking about your old home, it can be very helpful to anticipate, actually, and on one hand, actually, to anticipate the challenges you might have before you leave, but also to project solutions and positive outcomes in the future. I realized that one of the other reasons why it was particularly difficult to adapt at the beginning was that I obviously refused to project myself in this new apartment. I refused to do it before I left Vienna, and I even refused to do it in the first weeks and maybe even first months. It was probably because it was too hard to give up on a home I was emotionally attached to, and for me it was like a bit of a betrayal of moving on. But things got really better only when Michael and I started planning on how to make this new home ours and how to improve the things we didn't like about it. So therefore, my advice would be to take the time to make research before you leave. That's the first step. Get some pictures of the different rooms when it's possible. Get pictures of the new apartment, of the new surrounding. Ask previous tenants questions. Get information on the neighborhood. Prepare to move and mentally project yourself in the future home by making all this small research. For example, you could try to picture where to put which furniture and where to hang your pictures. What new style would inspire you to decorate your new home? Who would actually get which room if you have a family with kids? What improvements you could make to change the things that you don't like? The more information you have before you leave, the more you can try to project yourself in that home by not only what you like about it, but also what you would like to improve and how you could decorate it. Very important. But what happens if you don't even have a home yet? If you arrive in a new country not even having an apartment, or maybe you're living in a provisional apartment or a residential hotel or something like that, I can understand that that can be actually quite stressful and can even extend your adjustment period. No doubt about that. However, the mental exercise of projecting yourself in the future applies also to the new city. If you get warmer with your new town, you might also get adapted to a new home and deal with those emotions that you can have at the beginning in a new place. So imagine yourself in the city, make research on the activities you might be interested in, the areas where you would like to hang out or live in. Make a list of things you would like to do when you arrive, and actually a list of things that have nothing to do with just searching for a home. If you only do that, you might really get frustrated and not even be productive at finding a home. So make sure that while you're looking for a home in the new city, also make a list of all the other things you want to do. Take a few hours a week if you don't have more to do that, to just have a little bit of excursions and fun. Find also through contacts or online websites and meetups. Try to find like-minded people and try to meet with these people. Also plan some fun for yourself, but also for your family if you have kids. So very important, even if you don't have a home the first weeks, to project yourself in the future by imagining what your day-to-day life could look like even outside that home. And to go back to the kids, if you have any kids, they might also need some support to adjust and project into their first weeks and months in a new city. So try to involve them in the process, get them to express their concerns, and plan some fun excursions in the new town. All that can be really helpful. Although we cannot anticipate everything, preparing as much as possible before arriving to a new place is very important in order to avoid any disappointments.
For example, I know it's not an example that directly linked to the home, to the house, but it says a lot about the mental stage where we could be if we're not prepared. So before I arrived in New York, one of the first important thing for me in relocation was always to manage to continue my job and be able to work. And in certain cases, the spouses are not allowed to work in certain countries. So I made sure that I could work, and I asked around and asked for official answers if an accompanying spouse visa allows to work in the US. And I got a positive answer, and I was very happy about it. But once I arrived in New York, I realized that although I'm technically authorized to work, I still have to apply for a work permit, and I would have to wait a few months before I could get this work permit. So imagine my frustration. I came with this idea that I would be able to work right away, and then you have this big surprise that comes up and say, uh-oh, no, you can't. So being aware of the information in advance can really help with the adjustment period. And I know this is one of the things, this example, that made the adjustment period a little more difficult because it was unexpected. So whether we already found a place to live or not, looking forward and planning for the future rather than thinking too much of the present challenges can definitely help us deal with change. Also, while keeping a positive attitude, being as prepared as possible, expecting in advance some of the coming challenges are also good ways to avoid surprises and frustrations. Now we're going to go to our fifth step, because besides knowing what's going to happen, we might also need to do a little work on adjusting our routines and being flexible. The fifth tip is prepare to adjust your routines and be flexible. Being adaptable. Isn't that what traveling across the world is all about? Yeah, but easier to say than to do, right? Human beings are built on the principles of routines, and having to modify them can really be challenging. I really don't like doing laundry. I'm gonna give you here a straightforward statement and example. I hate doing laundry. I have no idea why. Maybe it's because I really don't like the whole ironing and folding part. But it made me hate it worse when I realized that in our new home, the washing machine was not in the apartment. We had to go up and down the stairs to be able to do our laundry. So imagine my frustration when I realized that. I was like, how come we can't do that? And then I was like, no, I mean, I'm sure I can manage. There's enough space in my bathroom. And I said, okay, let me try to install a washing machine in the bathroom. And we didn't get the authorization to do that by the building board. So I was like even more frustrated, because not only I couldn't have my washing machine where I wanted, but it also felt like, what is this situation where you can't even do what you want in your own apartment? So not long after that, I realized that my reaction again was a symptom of just not wanting to let go of the old habit in the old home. For instance, in this case, I realized that dry cleaning was the standard in New York. There are dry cleaners in every corner of New York streets. They even come to your place, pick up the dirty clothes, and deliver the clean ones at your door. So no more ironing and no more folding anymore. This turned out actually to be a much better outcome than in my old home. And I was still frustrated at the beginning. But once we try to see the new solutions, maybe there might be better solutions than even in the past. So if we really truly accept to adjust our routines, we will suddenly realize that there are more options that we might have not even thought about, and that might even have better outcomes than our old routines.
Also, remember, the benefit of traveling the world and moving to new countries is the incredible skills and flexibility we get to develop by adapting to new habits and new beliefs. That's the whole point about traveling the world, isn't it? And our final tip now is the sixth tip that says, put things into perspectives and be grateful. Expressing gratefulness is the first step to happiness. Happiness is the expression of recognizing the good things of life, isn't it? It is all about being able to appreciate what you have and what you had according to where you are and where you were. While not comparing the new home with the old one, as I said previously, it might be helpful to put things into perspectives by comparing what you have in your new home, where you just moved in, with what most people have in the new country where you moved to. Going back to the very simple example of the washing machine I gave you previously, I also realized that the vast majority of apartments in New York City are extremely small, with very little comfort, just a tiny space for an open kitchen, no washing machine, not even in the building basement. And adding to that, the rent is extremely high here in New York. So those who live in these apartments have to take from their very, very little free time to go to the laundromat sometime after a long time and a long day or a long week of work. So that made me realize how fortunate I was and how I had taken all my privileges as a given. My privileges in Vienna, but also my privileges in New York. So it's very important to compare what we have now with what the majority people have in the country where we live. And it actually turns it to make us more humble people and to start enjoying the little things of life. Putting our complaints and challenges into perspective can save a lot of disappointments and, more importantly, lead to full enjoyment of every moment in a new home. Let's now summarize the six tips to leave a home you loved and embrace the new one. Number one, pick a symbolic piece from your old home to take it with you to your new home. Number two, be patient and build short-term solutions. Number three, avoid comparing the past and the present. Number four, project yourself into the future. Number five, prepare to adjust your routines and be flexible. Number six, put things into perspective and be grateful. With all these tips, I hope that you are now ready to fully embrace your new home, your new life, and throw a great housewarming party. Don't forget to send me the invitation, and I hope I'll see you in the next episode of Tandem Nomads. Bye-bye. Nomad Nation, do you feel sometimes you would like to find people who can really understand the challenges that you are going through? Find people with whom you can talk about those challenges and who could really understand you. Or do you feel like you could help other expat partners around the world with your great experience and tips? If it's the case, then don't wait any longer. Go to facebook.com and join the incredible Tandem Nomads community. Type Tandem Nomads on the search bar. You will find the Facebook page. I invite you to like it. And you will also find the Facebook private group. Just ask to be admitted and I will gladly do so. Go to facebook.com, type Tandem Nomads